Please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We want to read verses 20, 21, and 22. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. As you know, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the great faith chapter of the Bible. This is not the only place where the Bible deals with that very important subject, but faith does receive a tremendous amount of attention in this one chapter. So if you want to do a thorough study of that subject, you certainly need to consider what's written in Hebrews chapter 11. But this letter was written to Christians in the first century whose faith was being tested. There are a number of passages in the letter which refer to that, and this testing was resulting in some of the early Christians becoming weak, and some of them were even in the process of losing their faith. Well, this letter was written for the purpose of encouraging these people to remain faithful to the Lord. That's one reason why we need to study it today, because of the overall purpose of the book of Hebrews. It was written for the primary purpose of encouraging Christians to remain faithful unto the Lord. But in Hebrews 11, we read about a number of men and women from the Old Testament who demonstrated their faith in a variety of ways. And the examples that these men and women set are a tremendous source of encouragement for us today. In keeping with the theme of the article in our bulletin, in our lesson we want to examine three men who demonstrated great faith. We just read about them briefly, but we want to spend a little bit more time talking about Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Those men demonstrated great faith, and we can learn much from them, and we can receive a tremendous amount of encouragement from them. The first point we need to make is that these three men had certain things in common. For one thing, they were all descendants of Abraham. Now, while there are many people from the Old Testament mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is the man who receives the most attention. Go back to verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go down to verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, in whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham stands out in the Bible as a great man of faith, so we would expect him to receive a lot of attention in the great faith chapter of the Bible, and he certainly does. Abraham has been called the father of the faithful. But the three men that we're studying about today were all descendants of Abraham. Isaac, of course, was Abraham's son. Jacob was Abraham's grandson. And Joseph was Abraham's great-grandson. So as we look at these three men that we're especially concerned about today, we see that they had certain things in common. One thing that they had in common was that they were all descendants of Abraham. Let's consider another point that they had in common. They all lived long lives. In Genesis 35, in verse 28, we learn that Isaac lived to be 180 years old. Now, his father Abraham lived to be 175. Isaac outlived his father by 5 years. Jacob lived 147 years, according to Genesis 47 in verse 28. I know I've mentioned this many times, but it's always impressed me that when Jacob and his family finally went to Egypt, Joseph brought his father before Pharaoh, and the first question that Pharaoh asked was, "How old are you?" I would like to have been there to see Pharaoh's expression when he asked that question. I would also have enjoyed looking at Jacob's facial features as he responded. But Jacob lived 147 years. Joseph, according to Genesis 50 and verse 26, was 110 years old when he passed away. So all three of these men were descendants of Abraham. All three of these men lived very long lives. But I want us to notice a couple of other things that these men had in common. At the end of their lives, although they had dealt with hardships throughout their lives, they looked to the future with optimism. That's a practical point that just, in my judgment, leaps off the page in Hebrews chapter 11 as you read about these men. Very little information is revealed in this chapter about those three men. However, as you look at what is revealed, you can't help but see that they all three, at the end of their lives, look forward to the future with optimism. Also, at the end of their lives, they were all concerned about future generations. Oh yes, they had difficulties of their own, but they were able to look past those difficulties and express their concern about future generations. Let's turn our attention to how these three men demonstrated their faith even at advanced ages. Let me mention to you one reason why I thought about preparing this lesson and presenting it. The main thing on my mind was that I was concerned about the ages of all of us. But I'll tell you about an experience I had a number of years ago that kind of caught me off guard. I was visiting an elderly man, and he was up in years, and he was suffering some of the difficulties associated with old age. I'll not go into a list of what they all were, but suffice it to say, this gentleman was feeling the effects of his age. I was considerably younger than he was, and he asked me a question. He said, "Why has the Lord let me live this long, and I have to deal with all these things in my life?" Well, I must admit to you, I was rather helpless because I didn't have an answer for him. I said something, but I don't remember exactly what it was because it's been a pretty good while ago. But that led me to do a little bit of study on that subject and to begin to look at people in the Bible who dealt with the effects of advanced age. I think we can learn from them. That will help us as we grow older, but also I think will help us to have the right kind of influence on others who observe our behavior. All three of these men, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, lived long lives. We've already pointed that out. But at the end of their lives, they were looking forward to the future with optimism, and they were concerned about future generations. I believe their examples are worthy of imitating. I mentioned that not much is revealed in Hebrews 11 concerning these three men, but we're able to read the details of their lives in the Old Testament. Let's turn to Genesis 27. And we want to read about the occasion when Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, we don't have time to do a thorough study of everything that took place, but let's point out Isaac's condition at the time as revealed in verse 1. Genesis 27 and verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I." We learned something about Isaac's condition at the time. He was at an advanced age. Now, he lived a considerable length of time past this, but he was already feeling the effects of advanced age. He lost his eyesight. He could still see some, but his eyes were dim. Now, remember when Jacob and Esau were born, that Esau was born first. But while those two boys were in the womb of their mother, there was a struggle. And it was revealed at that time that the older child would serve the younger. Now, that was God's will from the time that Jacob and Esau were in their mother's womb. We need to keep that thought in mind. Esau was the oldest, and on a prior occasion, he had sold his birthright to his brother Jacob. He gave it up. But Esau was the older, and it appears that he was Isaac's favorite, while Jacob was the favorite of his mother, Rebekah. Isaac wanted to pronounce a blessing upon his oldest son, Esau. Well, Rebekah and Jacob got involved. Rebekah came up with a plan whereby Jacob would receive the blessing. Go down to verse 27. Now, this is what the writer of Hebrews is mentioning in chapter 11 concerning Isaac and the blessing of his sons. Verse 27, "And he came near and kissed him. He smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." Now, Jacob is the one who's appeared before Isaac. Rebekah has taken some of the garments that belonged to Esau, and Jacob was wearing them. Therefore, now this is the blessing that Isaac pronounced upon Jacob. "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." That's the blessing that Isaac pronounced upon Jacob. He thought he was giving that blessing to Esau, but he actually gave it to his son Jacob. Of course, Esau returned from hunting. He prepared the venison and gave some to his father, and his father realized what had happened. Esau was very angry, and he threatened to take the life of his brother. Now go down to verse 38, and we want to see that Isaac did indeed bless Esau. Verse 38, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Now let's go to chapter 28. And notice that as Jacob was being sent away from home, Isaac blessed him once again. Genesis 28, let's start at verse 1. "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's brother, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." Now, the writer of Hebrews chapter 11 says that by faith, Isaac pronounced these blessings upon his sons, Jacob and Esau. But as you study those blessings very carefully, in what direction was Isaac looking? He was looking to the future. And he expressed his concern over future generations. Well, the writer of Hebrews chapter 11 also tells us that Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. We read about that in Genesis chapter 48. Genesis 48. Now, at the time, Jacob was feeling the effects of advanced age. His condition is pointed out to us. Look at verses 1 and 2. "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed." Go down to verse 10. "Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see." Now Jacob at this time is way up in years. We understand something about his condition. But he wanted to bless the sons of Joseph. I've tried to imagine what Jacob went through during the years that he thought his son Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. And remember, he sent Joseph to check on the welfare of his brothers. I've wondered if he thought many times, why did I send Joseph to check on the condition of my other sons? You can just imagine what he went through all of his life, or at least during those years. But then finally to be reunited with Joseph was a great blessing. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about it. But when they finally were reunited, they embraced and they had a good cry. So Jacob was finally able to be reunited with his son Joseph. Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob blessed those two sons of Joseph, and remember, the writer of Hebrews says he did it by faith. In Genesis 48, let's read a few verses starting at verse 14. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. When Joseph brought his sons up to Jacob, he put them in the position that Manasseh would have Jacob's right hand upon him. That would be the prominent position, because he was the older of the two. That's not what Jacob did. He switched. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. In verse 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Jacob claimed these two boys as his own. He said any sons that Joseph had after them would be his, but they would consider to be Jacob's sons. And of course, two of the tribes of Israel were named after them. In what direction was Jacob looking? We know about his condition. He was looking to the future, and he still had an optimistic spirit. But he was also concerned about future generations. You know, Jacob was able to remember some good things from the past. He remembered how God had blessed Abraham, how God had blessed Isaac, and how God had blessed him. He was confident that the same God would bless these two boys. Well, by faith, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. You know, I've tried to think about what it must have been like for those little boys to be in the presence of their grandfather, Jacob, the son of Isaac and the grandson of Abraham. To have his hands upon them, and then to hear those blessings from Jacob. I figure those boys remembered that for a long time. Well, the Bible also teaches in Hebrews chapter 11 that Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. We read about that in Genesis chapter 50. Not much is said about Joseph's condition at the time, but I think certain things are implied. Look at verse 22 of Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Now, the fact that he lived 110 years would imply certain things concerning his physical condition. But Joseph, even though he was in advanced age, went on to express his final wishes. Verse 24, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." I want you to notice that Joseph did something by faith. He made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. A time was coming when God's promise to Abraham would be fulfilled, and Abraham's descendants would leave the land of Egypt and go up to the land of Canaan, the promised land. But Joseph did not wish for his remains to stay in Egypt. He said, when you make the trip up to Canaan, carry my remains with you. And it's interesting, you can look at a few verses in Exodus and in Joshua, and you can see that the children of Israel did exactly what Joseph wanted them to do. There was a 40-year period of wandering in the wilderness. Joseph's remains were right there with the children of Israel. Finally, he was buried according to the book of Joshua. Joseph was looking to the future with the spirit of optimism, and he was concerned about future generations. Those are some important lessons that we need to keep in mind as we get older. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph provide a tremendous amount of encouragement for all Christians, but especially aging Christians. Even when they were all older men at advanced ages, they all continued to demonstrate their faith. They looked to the future with optimism, and they were concerned about future generations. Now, concerning the situation I tried to describe earlier, when an elderly man asked me a question that I couldn't answer, let's consider a few points of information from the Bible that I think will help us. Maybe we'll have the opportunity to share these things with others. For one thing, we need to understand that God is very much aware of what we go through. Let's look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90 was written by Moses. David wrote about half of the Psalms. There are 150 of them. There are a number of writers who composed these very beautiful Psalms. Moses wrote this one. Moses lived to be 120 years old. What a great leader he was. He became the leader of the Israelites at the age of 80. And he led them for 40 years. Let's notice something that Moses wrote in this psalm. Verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. God knows that our lives will only last so long. I like to make a little bit light of it that I'm now an official member of the 70 Years and 10 Club. Years ago, I never thought about being 70 years old, but it happened. As time goes on, guess what we have to look forward to? The same things that these men we read about today faced. They faced difficulties as they aged. Physical difficulties, emotional difficulties, and so forth. God revealed through Moses a very important point of information. Life here on this earth is only going to last so long. But there's good news. When this life comes to an end, the faithful child of God will fly away. And there's a practical lesson to learn from that. Look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our time here on earth is limited. We need to take advantage of the time that we have. Let's consider a very beautiful prayer. It's very long. In Psalm 71. Psalm 71. It's in verse 9. This is a short request, but I believe it's a good prayer that ought to be offered by all who are advancing in age. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now, that's a short prayer, but it's a beautiful request. That request is made by someone who's depending upon God for help. And we need to keep in mind that there are certain responsibilities to fulfill at an advanced age. Let's turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Notice that even at advanced age, the Lord wants his people to bring forth fruit. Jesus talked about the importance of bearing fruit in John chapter 15. When his people bear fruit, it glorifies God and identifies us as his true followers. Now, can we do the things as we get older that we were able to do when we were younger? No. But you know, I figure when Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, he couldn't do the things that he did when he was younger. When Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, I figure at that point he couldn't do the things that he did when he was younger. The same could be said for Joseph when he talked about the children of Israel departing from Egypt and giving instructions concerning the care of his remains. But there's still something that even a child of God at an advanced age can do. All three of these men that we talked about faced old age, I believe, in the right way. They accepted the fact that they couldn't do what they could at one time. But yet they were still concerned about the influence that they had on others. They looked to the future with optimism, and they were concerned about future generations. And as we close, let's look at some instructions that are given in Titus chapter 2. Now, Lord willing, this evening we want to take a more detailed look at these instructions. But let's notice some folks who were mentioned. Now, Titus was to teach these things. He was a preacher serving on the island of Crete. Verse 1 says of Titus 2, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Now, this was written directly for the benefit of Christians, people living under the New Testament. That includes us today. Notice that the aged men are given certain responsibilities. The aged women are given responsibilities as well. For as long as we possibly can, we need to serve the Lord to the very best of our ability, accept the difficulties that come along with advanced age, and trust in the Lord for help. In one way, I appreciate the fact that brother a long time ago asked me that question. I felt rather helpless because I couldn't give him an answer. But I know where we can find answers, and it's right here in this book. Let's be grateful for Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Those men set a wonderful example for us to follow.